The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
No offseason in the NFL. Everyone goes to Florida to retire or unretire Tom Brady. Bruce Arians stepping down as coach of the Buccaneers and will move in the front office role. Defensive coordinator Todd Bowles will take over as head coach. His new job title will be senior football consultant. Despite multiple health scares throughout his career, Arians, 69, said the move was in no way motivated by health issues. Arians and the Bucs had been working on a succession plan the last several weeks, and Arians informed players and members of his coaching staff of the news prior to the team's announcement. Arians went 31-18, incredible record in three seasons with the Bucs, including, of course, that Super Bowl victory. Arians saying, quote, "I want to focus on what I can give back to this incredible game that has provided so much for me and my family. I really began thinking about my personal transition plan earlier this season, offseason. I wanted to ensure when I walked away that Todd Bowles would have the best opportunity to succeed." Tom was kind of the key. When Tom decided to come back and all of these guys back now, it's the perfect timing for me just to go in the front office and still have those relationships that I love. Tom Brady, ahead of his 23rd season, posting this on IG. Thank you, BA, for all that you've done for me and our team. You're an incredible man and coach, and it was a privilege to play for you. You are a true NFL legend and pioneer for all the work you have done to make the league more diverse and inclusive. Harry Douglas, Jeff Saturday here with me now. Good morning, guys, or good afternoon. Thank you so much for being with us. And Harry, I understand you just had Bruce Arians on your radio show, but he didn't let you break the news. Talk to me. What's the impact of the Arians retirement?
Well, I'll tell you first, Molly, this is a shocker to me because like you just mentioned, we had Bruce Arians on the show. Me and Amber Wilson was filling in for Chris Canty last Friday, and he was excited and he gave no indication that he was going to be stepping down. So now Houdini has to move over and Bruce Arians has taken over as the magician. But I'll start right here with Bruce Arians. I respect the hell out of him because when you talk about diversity, he is the model in the National Football League of that when it comes to giving people opportunities. And I'm going to start with his coaching staff. You see a guy like Keith Armstrong, who special teams coordinator, I played for him in Atlanta. He played for B.A. at Temple back in 83 through 86. You look at Byron Leftwich when B.A. was the offensive coordinator at Pittsburgh. Leftwich was a player underneath him. Then you look at Todd Bowles. And a lot of people think Todd Bowles was just with B.A. in Arizona. No, it goes all the way back to the Cleveland days, 2001 to 2003. Mm-hmm. So he has set Todd Bowles up for success. And when we see these coaching cycles transpire year in and year out, usually minority coaches get the last lick and the last pick of the litter. Bruce Arians said, forget all this nonsense. I'm going to set Todd Bowles up for success so he doesn't end up in another situation like he did with the New York Jets. I could respect somebody like that. You look at B.A., you look on this roster, coaching-wise, he has two females there with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers franchise. You look all the way back to Virginia Tech days. He was the first person in the room with a black person, which happens to be Rondé and Tiki Barber's father, James Barber. So I commend B.A. in every situation possible because he's a stand-up guy.
Jeff?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, Harry understood. I played for BA in Indy, and this dude is a stud all the way around, right? Like, you've never, I don't know if people have met more of a character in the NFL than BA. And to Harry's point, he lives his convictions. I mean, this guy ain't about talk, right? He's not about just, you know, the lip service. Like, whatever he says, he's going to follow up with it. And all of the diversity and inclusiveness that he's had in his organization, he also holds people extremely accountable. And as a player and as a coach, you love that. There's no wishy-washy with BA, right? Like, he loves you, but he will rip you apart as well. And I think there's something about that that players appreciate, that there's nothing going to be said behind closed doors that this man hadn't said to your face. And if he believes that you can get the job done, he's going to give you every opportunity to get it done. And so, you know, it's like when you think about how impactful he's been on the game, when you think about X's and O's, this guy pushes the ball. He pushes the limits down the field. You know, we used to talk about it all the time. It's a 7-yard drop in a 40-yard ball, right? When he was in Indy with Peyton, he wanted that thing pushed down as deep in the field as possible, in the middle of the field. He was never afraid. He was never afraid to take that chance like Harry talked about, whether it was rooming with an African-American, whether it was hiring a female coach, whether it was hiring, all black coordinators, whether it was offense, defense, special teams, which I don't think had been done until he did it. All the different steps that this guy has taken have been phenomenal for our game. We're going to miss him. We're going to miss his press conferences. We're going to miss the hat. We're going to miss all the conversations that he had. But I love the guy, man. Like, he's a ton of fun. But again, he's very demanding. I think sometimes people, they kind of push it aside of what he holds. But his convictions are tightly held. And he pushes players, he pushes coaches to be their absolute best. And I think that's why people love to play for him and love to be around him. And he's fun. I mean, listen, the dude has a ton of fun. He's self-effacing. He can make fun of himself. He'll make fun of you as well. But all of those things, I think, just speak volumes about B.A. and why Tom Brady said what he said about him, because he is a pioneer in our game, X's and O's wise and off the field wise.
Yeah, and just want to applaud him again, how he said he was cognizant of passing on the team, passing the torch essentially when the cupboard wasn't bare. Right? Where there's really, it's a, yes, a great opportunity for Todd Bowles, and that's huge, and we don't hear that a lot, so we need to recognize him for that. So, gentlemen, I want to ask you this question. Now, I asked Keyshawn and Teddy this earlier. I'll give you their answers. Who's the team to beat now in the NFC? Teddy had the Rams. Keyshawn said the Packers. Jeff Saturday, I'll start with you.
I'm going Rams here. Listen, I think this is still a very good football team. I would actually go Rams being 1A and Bucks being 1B. But I'm telling you, the Rams, they've done a good job. They re-signed two of their offensive linemen, obviously bringing over Robinson at the wide receiver position. We still don't know about OBJ, but he could potentially be back in that fold. But with what they were able to accomplish last year, just re-signing Aaron Donald to that contract to give them stability on that side. Listen, and they're still possibly there. Like, you hear this conversation with Bobby Wagner and trying to bring a guy like him in on their defensive side, which would be a phenomenal pickup for this team. But you can tell this team's not just resting on the Super Bowl championship. They still want to push forward. They still want to go this thing back to back. We know how tough that is. But they're adding pieces again, even in this offseason, that I think benefit them, but well before the draft. So to me, they're the team to beat. This is a very good football team, a well-coached football team. And I know everybody talks about the draft picks and all that. They seem to reload no matter what. So I think this is the team to beat in the NFC.
Yeah, Jeff, before Tom Brady came back to football, I actually had the Los Angeles Rams as a team to come out of the NFC. But when he came back, I knew he was coming back with a vengeance and something to prove. And that's to win another Super Bowl. That's the only reason why he plays the game. That's another reason why he came back to the game, because he loves it that much. And when they started losing offensive linemen, a lot of people were worried. Then they traded for Shaq Mason. They still had Donovan Smith. They re-signed Ryan Jensen. They have Tristan Wirfs. Yeah. Now they have playoff Lenny. That was one of the most hugest guys to bring back offensively, I think, more so than anybody. Leonard Fournette, he's going to be back. Chris Godwin, at some point, he's going to be back. Mike Evans. Can we give Mike Evans some love? Because I don't think he gets the credit he deserves.
Yes, sir.
To have 1,000 yards in just about every season that he's played in the National Football League, that is unheard of. And he's been the constant and has been the consistent. Then you look over at that defensive side of the ball. You just seen Ndamukong Suh. His love for Todd Bowles just sent out a little tweet. Maybe it's one more guy y'all need to add back to that roster. But when I had Bruce Arians on last Friday, right, I spoke about a secondary. I wanted to ask him about a secondary. He said, Harry, really the first game of the year and the tail end of the year is really when we only had our secondary. And I went to thinking about that. That secondary was decimated last year throughout the entire year. All of those guys are going to be back, just about all of them. You added a guy like Logan Ryan, who can play the nickel, who can play back deep in the safety, who can play in the box, who can tackle, who can blitz. That's going to pay dividends for them. I think they have the best tandem linebackers in the league, Levante David, Devin White. So I'm going to go with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Listen, again, they're 1B to me. Here is the one thing I would say. New coach, I know it's Todd Bowles, who I love. My biggest question mark, who's going to be calling the defense? Is Bowles going to continue to call the defense, or is somebody else going to be? Until I hear that again, that's another reason why I kind of have them 1B. Because you and I both know There's something about that dude. Like, Todd Bowles ain't afraid, bro. Third and four, he still might bring the house. Third and 10, he might bring the house. Third and one, he might. You never know what he's going to do. He's very unpredictable when it comes to the way that he runs defenses. That's a difficult transition for a young coordinator to come in, to have that kind of bravado and guts to go make those calls. So the one area that I'd also want to see them, because I do believe they're good up front, but they have to be able to get after the passer better, right? Like when you look at this football team, they're going to have to sack the passer. I understand about Sue, but they're going to have to find ways to create pressure. Is that going to come from blitzing, or are they going to play more base? I want to see who the coordinator is, Harry, to make sure that kind of follows through to get them above the Rams, in my opinion.
Jeff, that's a great point, because if I had to make a pick right now, I would have said the Bucks. But you're right, that definitely gives me pause right there.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Quick takes, let's get it. Lance doing what Lance does best. Austin Rivers was given a technical foul and ejected for not elbowing Lance Stephenson last night, who sort of did a good sell job. Perk, your thoughts on this one?
You know what? It's ridiculous. And you know, you got to go back to the reviewing thing, and I know everybody don't love it, but it got to have some type of consequences. The league have to have some type of consequences for the officials. You can't be fooled by this and kick a guy out the game. This is ridiculous. This is a bad look for the league, and it shouldn't be tolerated.
Yeah, guess what, Big Perk? Austin Rivers co-signing after the game, tweeting this. Never in my life have I been thrown out of a game for something so ridiculous. Seriously, never. The league's got to look at this one. We'll keep it going here, guys. No surprise, but the Grizzlies clinched the number 2 seed in the West after narrowly beating the Spurs last night by 1 point. The Grizzlies improved to 19-2 without Ja Morant this season. Meanwhile, the first-place Suns won their 9th game in a row, defeating the Warriors on the road last night. That win, number 62 for Phoenix this season, matching a franchise record. Devin Booker recognizing the significance of that feat.
It means a whole lot. You know, being here 7 years now and, you know, just learning more and more about, you know, the franchise and the organization, the people that have came before us, and, you know, now to be up there with them ones, you know, it feels good.
Obviously, I'd like to get a championship to go along with that, but that doesn't diminish anything that we've done. You know, seasons are hard. It's a long season, ups and downs of a season. So, you know, it's dope to be a part of that with this franchise and have an opportunity to have the most wins this franchise ever had.
There he is, Big Perk, Harry Douglas back here with us. Guys, do you believe CP3 and the Booker will lead the Suns to a title? Perk, I'll start with you.
No, I don't. And let me tell you who's going to be in their way. Harry, Molly, let me take you to the dark side, okay?
Okay,
to Memphis. To Memphis. Yes, to Memphis. And here's why. When you look at the Memphis Grizzlies, we're watching them right now, and we're watching a team that is balling without their superstar, okay? And so when you look at the others, they're not a lot of household names because they didn't get a lot of national recognition. I think we did a great job when we did the All Access. But when you look at Big Steven Adams, by the way, who I raised up under my wing, when you look at Jaren Jackson Jr., who's a Defensive Player of the Year candidate, those two right there anchor in the middle on their defense. And when you look at the athleticism and the grit that they have at the wing position, and Desmond Baines, you know, you got Dylan Brooks, you have the kid Clark that comes in off the bench along with Melton, and they're defensively sound. We heard Draymond Green talk and sing praises about this team as well. And when you look at them again, They don't give a damn who you are. They're not backing down from anyone. They want all the smoke. We heard what Ja Morant said. He said they run up the chimney because they want all the smoke. So when I'm looking at this Memphis Grizzlies team, the way that they're playing right now, the type of tenacity, the type of swag that they have, I'm actually picking them to win in the Western Conference.
Ooh, not me. I'm going to go with the Phoenix Suns. And sometimes you can run up that chimney, but that damn chimney might be hot at the top as well. So I'm going to say this. When you look at the Phoenix Suns, right, I look at this team. I look at how efficient they are on the offensive end. Yes, they play defense. They're top 7 in points allowed on the defensive end of the ball. But you look at their three. I'm going to start with Chris Paul. We all know what Chris Paul has meant to the National Basketball Association since he came in the league. Now, what he has meant to the Phoenix Suns is everything plus more. Led them to the finals last year. This team just won a 62nd game last night. That ties a franchise record. And they have multiple games to play this year. Now I'm gonna go to Devin Booker. Perk, just 5 days ago, you tweeted that Devin Booker has entered the MVP conversation. Not over Embiid though, not over Jokic. But Devin Booker is playing a brand of basketball right now where he gets in his sweet spot and he gets in his zone, he can't be stopped. And then you look at DeAndre Ayton. I look at the two games that they played this year against each other. DeAndre Ayton didn't play any one of those games. And the Phoenix Suns won the first one, and then Ja Morant came with a basket at the end to win the last one. That's important. Then I look at a guy like Mikal Bridges, who played at Villanova under a guy like Jay Wright, won a national championship. He can defend. Not only can he defend, he can get you buckets. I love what Jay Crowder brings to the table as well. Defense, hitting shots sporadically when he needs to. But then Cameron Payne, I think this is an important piece right here. Cameron Payne, when I looked at Cameron Payne play the last few years, he was a guy that was just looking offensively to score. This year, I think he has more of a grasp on the offense, facilitating and scoring when he needs to score, but making sure guys are still getting involved. And I ain't even mentioned Cameron Johnson yet, a guy coming off the bench, he's still hurt with that thigh right now. But when he comes back, I like this Phoenix Suns teams and what they're going to present in the playoffs and making it to the finals.
Well, Mr. Harry, I'm so thrilled and happy that you actually follow my Twitter and bringing up receipts, because if you would notice, if you would have known that, I actually been tweeting all year long that a certain someone from the Memphis Grizzlies should have been in the MVP conversation or has been in the MVP conversation, and that's Ja Morant. A guy that actually could be the face of the NBA. A guy that before he got injured was averaging almost 38 points a night, giving people that work, okay? And when you talk about Cameron Payne, I'm not taking anything away from him. I think he does an excellent job as far as when he comes into the game facilitating for the Phoenix Suns as a backup PG. But you know who is actually the best backup point guard in the NBA right now? And I have the stats to back it up. It's Tyus Jones. Tyus Jones. A guy that just dropped 25 last night. A guy that is leading the league for his efficiency, assist to turnover ratio. So when we talk about certain things, this is why I jump off the porch and I'm willing to bet everything that I have on the Memphis Grizzlies, because they have the personnel. They're committed. Yes, everybody keeps saying they're young. They're not experienced. But I always have to keep telling people it's okay to be young, but they have old souls. And when you have a team that don't care who's in front of them, when you have a team that carries that much swagger, talk that much noise, and back it up on top of that. Let me tell you something. I saw a picture of Steven Adams. It was 35 degrees outside. Matter of fact, it was colder than that. He walked outside and got off the bus and he had some open toe sandals on. You gotta be afraid of a guy that's willing to do something like that. I'm just trying to explain something to you. They have this nastiness about them, man, and they have this certain type of mentality that is dangerous. Now, look, I believe that this is going to be the Western Conference Finals matchup. I think it's going to be the Phoenix Suns against the Memphis Grizzlies. But boy, when they come to the dark side, it's going to be something. Because I went to the game about a week ago, and I saw Kevin Durant drop 35, 11, and 8. And I saw Kyrie Irving have 43 points in that same game. And guess what? They lost. They lost to the Memphis Grizzlies without Ja Morant.
See, I just think at the end of the day, experience and the Phoenix Suns being there a year ago and this year, their mindset is a lot different, right? They was just trying to get that last year. It was a surprise to them. Now they got that year under their belt. They're coming to make noise this year. They're here to stay.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. I'd like to see CP3 get a ring. I just want to get it on the record because I don't want to mischaracterize anything that Big Perk says. So right now, Big Perk, it's March 31st. It's Thursday, 11:24 a.m. Eastern, where I am. I'm not sure where you are right now. So you have the Grizzlies and you have the Bucks, correct?
Yeah. Yes. Write it down. Take a picture, and you know the rest. Yes,
carry the
I have
on.
The Grizzlies and the Bucks, so you can carry on. Yeah, take a picture of it.
Okay.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
To New England we go. The Patriots finished last season with a 10-7 record, only to get blown out by their rival Buffalo Bills in the wild card round. That marked the third straight year the Patriots have failed to record a playoff win, a record owner Robert Kraft isn't too thrilled about.
It bothers me that we haven't been able to win a playoff game in the last 3 years.
If it takes a few years for the team to be, you know, in true contention, or do you expect that to happen as soon as this year?
I expect it to happen as soon as this year.
I wish I could feel bad. It bothers me that my team doesn't have a quarterback or an offensive line. Shall I continue? Hi, Jeff. Hi, Harry. Okay, so the Dolphins have much improved this offseason. Obviously, the notable acquisition of Tyreek Hill being the headline for these new-look Fins. Jeff, who's the biggest threat to the Bills now? Because they're the real deal in the AFC East.
Listen, I don't think anybody's going to push them very much, Molly, but I'll say I still think it's the Patriots. I think Mac Jones, I know his rookie season was, I thought it was solid. I thought he continued to get better. They run into a buzzsaw in the playoffs, right? And I think, so when I look at the Patriots, I think they'll begin to get better defensively. You know, everybody wants to talk about Mac Jones, the rookie, the offense, and all those kinds of things. But defensively, they looked old and slow towards the latter part of the season. In the playoffs, I think Josh Allen was like 21 of 25. I mean, he was dang near perfect, and he ran all over him. So it wasn't like there was this game was even in question. But I think when you think about the Patriots, Bill Belichick will go back to the drawing board. He will begin to add pieces to understand, okay, the way that Josh Allen, this Bills team, is going to beat us is with his arms, but also his legs, right? We can't allow him to get, you know, 10 yards a rush. So how can we benefit? And he'll begin to kind of build an umbrella on that defense to slow him down, to give himself a chance. I think that Mac Jones will continue to get better. I think they'll address the wide receiver position in the draft to get some more speed on the outside. They spent a boat ton of money last year in free agency. You knew they were going to do that 2 years in a row, but I do think they need some explosive players on the outside. I know they want more out of Aguilar, but they'll go draft some guys. I know it's a deep wide receiver class for the draft. I think that's what they'll have to address. They'll still be solid up front in the offensive line to protect Mac Jones. They'll still have a good, sound running game that wins in the NFL. I know it's not sexy. It's not, you know, but ultimately, I think they push the Bills more than the Dolphins, just because I'm not sure where Tua is going to land this season. With all the talent that's around him, he's got to step up in a big way.
Harry, before you jump in here, I just want to say no Josh McDaniels, because obviously he's in Vegas now. Harry?
Oof.
Right.
That's big. So, yeah. Molly, for me and Jeff, I'm going to go with the Miami Dolphins. And it definitely helps when you trade for a guy like Tyreek Hill, who's one of the scariest people at the wide receiver position for any secondary, any defense to even defend. And I like what Mike McDaniel has done with this team since coming over. He's kind of building this thing the same way the San Francisco 49ers have built. And now, I'm not going to say these players are exactly like the San Francisco 49er players, but they're similar. You look at Teron Armstead. You look at Trent Williams. You look at George Kittle. You look at Gesicki at the tight end position. Tyreek Hill, Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, Jalen Waddle. Actually, Jalen Waddle was even better. You look at the running back position. In San Francisco, they like to use their running backs by committee. They have three right now in Chase Edmonds, Mostert, and then Myles Gaskin. I like it. Then you look offensive line-wise. You brought in Connor Williams as well. You still have Austin Jackson that you drafted. I like where this team is Miami Dolphins-wise because last year I didn't think their problem was defensively. I thought their problem was offensively. And now you added those playmakers to be able to put Tua in a position to succeed. I like it. Not to mention, the Miami Dolphins beat the Patriots twice last year. Not once, but twice.
So, Harry, tell me this then. Has Bill Belichick won his last Super Bowl?
Honestly, I think so. And it's simply the fact that, Molly, you look at the AFC and how the AFC stacks up now. You look at the AFC West alone. You have four teams right there. You look at the AFC North. You have all those teams over there with the addition to Deshaun Watson going to Cleveland and what Cincinnati has done offensive line-wise to protect Joe Burrow. And then you look at the Buffalo Bills and you see the Miami Dolphins. So, and then I didn't even mention the Tennessee Titans and Matt Ryan getting the Indianapolis Colts. The AFC is going to be so tough now that I think Bill Belichick would not win another Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm not writing that off yet. Listen, this is the greatest coach in NFL history. Like, this guy finds ways to win. I understand Tom Brady and what he meant to this franchise. I'll say this about Belichick, man. I played on one of the best offenses in NFL history. He finds ways to slow you down and throttle you down. He forces you to find your second and third option to go out there and beat you and make plays. And I do fully agree with Harry. The AFC is a gauntlet. Like, I don't care what division you're in. Like, this is a tough conference all the way around from top to bottom. But Belichick does a good job of being able to slowing offenses down. I think Mac Jones, as he matures and they begin to find some players around him, I think they'll get more explosive. It's hard for me to say he's won his last one. I will say this, one area of concern for me, and I'll fully agree with Harry, not having a, quote, offensive coordinator. You know, they're kind of going this, like, non-title, whatever. I don't know that there's someone on the Patriots staff right now that's called offensive plays in a game. That's a concern for me for a second-year quarterback, so I'm not sure exactly how they address it or somebody gets named, but that to me will be how the Patriots get back in the mix of the Super Bowl, is being able to do kind of what the Dolphins did for Tua, for Mac Jones, surround him from some explosive playmakers, that the ball doesn't have to travel 20 yards. The ball can travel 4 yards, and they take it 20 yards. That's what I would think that New England Patriots are going to try to do to keep themselves in this arms race that we call the AFC right now.
Jeff, here's one quick thing really quick. When you look at the Patriots offense, I don't know who's the guy. Who is the guy? You throw your hands up. Who is the guy that I can count on to make me a play when the game is on the line? They don't even know. On top of not having a play caller.
Yeah, I agree with you. They got to go find some explosive players. I 100% agree with you. And you and I both know tight ends are a quarterback's best friend. They went out and got two of them, Hunter Henry, you know, kind of that deal. But you and I both know, you know who else his best friend is? The dude who can take it when it ain't a perfect ball or when it had to be a deep ball, and he can go it and make it happen. So they got to find that for him too.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, guys, I think we all agree still. It's the Bills and then everybody else. Right? I mean, there's still a huge gap. Jeff Saturday, thank you so much. Appreciate you. We will talk to you soon.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEBikes.com. The Sixers lost a close one to the Bucks Tuesday night thanks to a game-saving block by Giannis on Embiid off a missed James Harden three-point attempt. The Sixers currently sit third in the East, tied with Boston and Philly just two games back of first-place Miami. Good news for the Sixers. They get the lowly Pistons tonight. It's not all sunny in Philadelphia since James Harden won his first five games with the Sixers after joining the team. Over his last 11 games played, the team is now 6-5 and lost their last two with Harden shooting under 40%. From the field. Perk and Harry back here with me. Oh, big Perk, big Perk, big Perk. I just want to know, do you have any concerns, sir, about James Harden come postseason playoff basketball, which you are very familiar with?
You know what, Molly? The one thing that I hate to look is dumb, okay? And I done came on here and I done said that James Harden and Joel Embiid could possibly be the next version of Kobe and Shaq. And Joel Embiid has lived up to that thus far. Now, I know we haven't started the postseason, but James Harden hasn't. And look, we all know what James Harden is capable of doing. We watched him lead the league in scoring for, you know, consecutive years while he was in Houston. We watch him, you know, win the MVP. But do I have concern? Hell yeah. And let me tell you why. I'm not the only person that's in the NBA world that have concerns about James Harden. When you talk to former players, those old school guys, right? When I had those conversations, the conversation is brought up, does James Harden really care? And they don't question his love for the game because he has never cheated us when it comes to the regular season and his availability. But when it comes to the clutch time in the postseason when it matters the most, or when it comes to him having to go toe-to-toe with elite competition, he always shies away from the moment. And to top it off, not only does he shy away from the moment, it's after the game would end up happening. We see him with Lil Baby. We see him with Big Mills. So one question is, do he really care? And that's a bad concern to have, and that's a bad picture to be painted about yourself. So when I look at what's going on right now, James actually have an opportunity to change that narrative about himself this season. Again, he left KD and Kyrie to go team up with Joel Embiid because he said that he wanted to go be with a team that had the same agenda as him, and that was to win a championship. So now he has to prove it. But yes, I have concerns, and I don't have concerns about James Harden for his talent. I have concerns about James Harden for his, does he actually care?
See, I have concerns too, Pert, and I'll take it all the way back to the fact that you look at all the guys that James Harden has played with, all the guys who are going to be in the Hall of Fame one day, and I'll start with Chris Paul. It didn't work, right? Shot away from the moment, didn't hit the basket that he needed to make against the Golden State Warriors. He had Russell Westbrook, didn't work. He goes over to the Brooklyn Nets. You're with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. Mm. You left that team. Now you go to the Philadelphia 76ers. First of all, you can't keep running. At some point, you got to stay somewhere. You got to stay put and play basketball. But I'm going to bring up some games, Perk, and I wrote them down because I wanted to make sure I was on point. When they played the Phoenix Suns, right, James Harden had 14 points. You can't be no damn Robin Tubb, Embiid's Batman, playing the Phoenix Suns, scoring 14 points. Went 2-for-11. Played the Toronto Raptors, went 5-for-12, had 17 points. Against the Nuggets, he had 24 points, but he only had 6 at halftime. Your Robin can't be that guy. One game against the Heat, he did not play. Now, the game the other night against the against the Milwaukee Bucks, he showed out. But in the fourth quarter, do you know he only scored 3 points in the fourth quarter? How you going to win if you the Philadelphia 76ers if your Robin scoring 3 points in the fourth quarter?
Well,
Joel Embiid in that same game at the 6:26 mark scored a layup. He didn't score again until 49 seconds left in the game.
Hey, Harry,
gonna win.
Harry, you know what? You didn't want a friend in me. You got a friend in Big Perk for the simple fact that I see you love the game of basketball. And you probably was one of those football players who first love was the game of basketball, like my boy Swaggoo. But that's a whole nother story. We'll talk about that later.
You played with my brother, Perk. You played with my brother in New Orleans, Perk.
Yeah, I did. I did. But listen, here's the thing. Here's the thing about James Harden. I defended him, right? But when he had that matchup against the Brooklyn Nets, I expected James Harden, I expected Kyrie Irving, I expected Kevin Durant to take that regular season game personal. Guess what? KD did. Kyrie did. I mean, Kyrie Irving literally picked up James Harden full court from the start of the game to the end of the game. He took it personal. And so when I see James Harden and I see him in those matchups, and I actually tried to defend him, but I had to think about it, which made me go out and apologize to Kyrie Irving, because I thought, Molly, that I thought Kyrie had kind of lost, you know, his passion a little bit for the game of basketball until I witnessed that game in particular. So my thing with James Harden is that you don't want that narrative out there that you don't really have that care or that love about actually winning, that you only want to be a regular season guy that benefit what comes with off the court things, meaning what you do in the regular season, now you could benefit all the extra activities off the court. Like, James Harden has to change that narrative about himself. And that's not just with me. That's not just with you. That's not just with Harry. That's what all the former NBA players are saying about him at this moment.
Perk, you mean like loving what the game brings more than loving the game, kind of? We hear that a little bit in football.
Yes.
But I want to ask you this, Perk, and I guess I'm kind of being Monday morning quarterback at this point because Ben Simmons hasn't played. But now, looking at how things panned out, now that we will have a full-time Kyrie in the playoffs, do you think it was a mistake for James Harden to leave? Because he could have been playing with a full-time Kyrie and KD.
No. You know why? Because of the position that Philly is in. Like, they're still at the top of the Eastern Conference. Like, the Brooklyn Nets still have a lot of things that they have to figure out. I mean, they actually still have to make the playoffs, and I think their journey will be a lot tougher. But you're still playing with Joel Embiid, a guy who I feel like is going to win the MVP. So, no, I think James Harden actually made the right decision. It's just on him to elevate his game and step up to the plate to deliver on why he made the decision. That's what I'm saying. I don't think it was a mistake.
Harry?
And Molly, when this trade happened, everybody was jumping on that wagon. I went on the show with Chris Canty, and I said, no one's talking about what if it doesn't work. How we just assume that it's going to work? And then I said, the other day I was watching the game, right, against the Bucks. And one thing I pointed out when this trade was made is that James Harden can't get this ball to Joel Embiid with 5 or 6 seconds left on the shot clock because he's not that kind of player. Joel Embiid likes to give you that little fake. He likes to be in his little groove. You got to understand these type of things, man. And then the last play of the game against the Bucks. Why are you shooting a three? You're down 2 points. Put Embiid down there on that block. Throw it up. If he gets double teamed, hit the open man. Then you, if it's a three open, then you shoot that. But just to go out and shoot a three to try to win the game when you're only down two, I don't know what to think about this Sixers team.
But Harry, listen. Daryl Morey brought in James Harden, and the Philadelphia 76ers brought in James Harden, and they traded for him to take pressure off of Joel Embiid. Like, yes, we're asking a lot out of Joel Embiid, and Joel Embiid hasn't disappointed us. He has gotten better year after year. His mindset is there. He wants to win. He tells us how he wants to be the best player in the NBA, and night after night, he actually go out there and make a case of that. And so now when you bring in James Harden, he's supposed to relieve the pressure. James Harden did win the MVP of this league. James Harden is still in the tail end of his prime, but he's still in his prime. So you're supposed to take pressure off of Joel Embiid, not add pressure to Joel Embiid.
Guys, before we go to break real quick, because, Perk, I didn't get to ask you this earlier. Saturday night, who you got? Are you going Duke or UNC?
I'm going with Duke. With Duke. I feel like right now, you know, with Coach K, this has been his last year. Duke, the way that they're playing with a certain type of passion, the tenacity, I could just feel it. Like, I feel like the locker room is together. And I'm telling you right now, the way that they're scrapping, and they got this game circled for them, right? Because that the way that, like, Jay Will described how it ended when they did play North Carolina for Coach K last game, I feel like Duke is going to come out on one. And I think Duke has the better personnel, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Harry, where are you?
Yeah, I like Duke. I love the simple fact that on any given night, it can be Banchero. It can be Jeremy Roach. Mm-hmm. It can be Kills. It can be Mark Williams. It can be Wendell Moore Jr. Mm-hmm. I like the versatility of those guys. And then they have stepped up and grew up in this tournament and start playing defense, especially when they needed the most. So I'm going with Duke.
Mm. Big Perk, if you were picking for the women, though, you would obviously go with repeat champion, 14 title, 15 between the men's and women's. You would go UConn, right? I'm just wondering. A Louisville Cardinal wants to know.
You know what, Molly? I mean, you probably will want me to sit up here and say I would go with UConn, right? But
that's not fair. That's not fair. I've got nothing.
You know what? But I will say this. South Carolina is playing no games right now, okay? Yep. South Carolina is playing some beautiful basketball, but I cannot doubt Paige Buckets. I just want to watch it. I'm not going to pick, but I wouldn't be surprised if UConn and your Huskies win it all. Paige Buckets is just different, okay?
All right. I'm told we're up against it, so I can't even make a comment, but that was kind of weak, Perk. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Brightside breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. On South Carolina, 70-4 Pacific. Then it's UConn, the defending champ, Stanford in the second game. Both are also streaming live on the ESPN app, so you can watch anywhere. So, Harry Douglas, I just want to say this quickly. So, UConn, 11 national titles, most all time. Do you know who our coach is? Coach would be, yep, that's Gino Auriemma. Does Louisville have anyone on their team with the last name Buckets? Oh, no, only UConn does, and the Miami Heat, 25 first-round picks in the WNBA. How are you feeling about your Cardinals this weekend?
Molly, let me clear my throat. What have you done for me lately? The last time I could remember, I think it was the month of December, the Louisville Cardinals beat your UConn Huskies. Oh, yes, Molly. Drop the head. Drop the head.
Go you over.
Shout out to Coach Jeff Walls.
December?
Shout out to Haley Van Leith. Shout out to the Louisville Cardinals.
Here. This is March. Goodbye.